jumped out to Brother Spooner that we sang, Where He Leads Me. And kind of same here, that chorus, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. I'll go with Him all the way. So again, well, I mentioned this before, we do sing aspirationally. We aspire to do the things we sing about, but may it be that they're not just words. We want more than just coming and maybe reciting catechisms, coming to church and going through some motions and then going about our lives. May it be that where He leads me, I will follow. There's going to be times He's going to lead you and you're not going to like where it's going. But you're going to need to trust Him and make a decision. Am I going to do what He wants or am I going to do what I want? A lot of times when we sing these words, I'll go with, where He leads me, I will follow, as long as it happens to be the direction I'm going anyway. But what about when it's a direction you're not going? Or what about it's a direction you would rather not go down? I can still sing these words because I can sing them unthoughtfully. And it shouldn't be so. Words mean something to God. His words are so powerful. He spoke and nothing became everything. His words mean something. They're powerful. And when you belong to God, your words should mean something. And we sing this, I'll go with Him. Where He leads, I will follow. That's a good song for today. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Matthew 25, 14. This is the famous passage where they're standing before God and some of them are hearing, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And of course, our lives should be aimed at hearing those words. Our whole life, what is this? You know, they talk about, what's the meaning of life? And of course, that's supposed to be some deep question. But the meaning of life is, I want my whole life aimed at those words. I want every part of my life aimed at the words from my Creator and the one who sent His Son to die for me and the one who died for me. My whole life aimed at hearing the words, well done. That's the meaning of life. My life aimed at those words. I want to take the next three Sunday mornings and just look at that idea of well done. My life aimed at those words. Well done. My life aimed, every part of it aimed at those words. Let's pray and then we'll look at Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for allowing us to come together. The music was lovely. Lord, it lifted up You and that's what music should do. Lord, hopefully it quieted our flesh. It stirred up our spirits. Hopefully, Lord, less of what the flesh wants, less of what this world asks of me, more of what You want from me, Lord. And I pray that now as we look in Your precious word, Lord, You would work in our hearts, awaken our spirit, our hearts to what You want. And Lord, help us to actually mean those words. Wherever You lead us, we will follow. Because we trust You and we love You and we know what You have to say makes all the sense. And we can depend on You and have faith in You. And we owe it to You anyway, Lord. You made us. Oh God, You made us. We owe You everything anyway. You're the giver of life and the taker of it. Job said those words in Job chapter 1. He gives. He takes away. Naked came I into this world and naked I'll go out of it. God's the giver of life and the taker. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything we have, everything we are belongs to You and we owe it all back to You, Lord. And I just pray You be with this message today. Help us, Lord, to live lives aimed at those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Help us with these things. I ask all these things in Christ's name, amen. All right, so Matthew 25, 14. We'll read through verse 30 and we'll draw some thoughts out of that. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. So we have the picture of Christ going away. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. So that's kind of what we're going to look at today, ability. And straightway he took his journey. We know that Christ went away, and he's coming back. We don't know when. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded. So he got busy with what his Lord had given him with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had 2 also gained another 2. He also got busy with what God had given him in keeping with what God had wanted him to do. But he that received 1 went and digged. So the truth is, this third servant also got busy with what God had given him, but did not honor God with what God had given him. He did the opposite of what God wanted him to do, but he got busy. So again, busy, you know, God gives you something and you get busy. You need to make sure as you're busy about what God gives you, you're doing what honors him. So this guy also got busy, but did the wrong thing. He digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, verse 19, it does feel like a long time, doesn't it? After a long time, Christ is coming. Oh, yeah, I remember hearing that years ago and thinking, oh, I better be careful, but it was so long ago. And other people thought Christ was coming, and he didn't come in their lifetime. And boy, and of course, to the Lord, 1,000 years is like just a day. So for him, it's not that, but for us, it seems like a long time. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so that he had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest me unto 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And so verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done. And again, we want our lives aimed at those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler. So here we're talking in the millennial kingdom. Rewards in the millennial kingdom, being able to rule faithful to God and having positions of authority in the millennial kingdom. Well done, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord, verse 23, said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. No, he didn't. Kind of reminds us of Matthew 7, right? Matthew 7, where he said, Lord, Lord, have we not done? I did this for you, and I did this for you. And Jesus says, I know you not. Here this person said, I knew thee, but obviously he didn't. I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent. Remember, he even recognized it wasn't his to do it as he pleased. Thy talent in the earth, lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. So Jesus gave these, the Lord here gave talents to this man with expectations. Now up there it didn't see, up there it looks like he gave 1 5 talents, gave another 2, and gave to the third, and then took his journey. It doesn't seem like there's expectations, but there were. Here we see what those expectations were down here. Thou oughtest to. Therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. What I gave you, I considered an investment, and I expect a return on my investment. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, shall be taken away. That's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes we talk about, well, in this life, there's the haves and the have-nots. Some people have and some people just don't have. There's the haves and the have-nots. Here, Jesus says, from him that hath not shall be taken away. It was this man's own fault that he was a have-not. From him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So again, I want to look at well done, a life aimed at those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Someone said, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. So we want a life that is aimed at something. A life aimed at those words, day in, day out, not just on Sundays. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. A life aimed all the time at those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So today, I want to look at a pivotal explanation. What is this life all about? Next week, I want to look at a powerful denunciation, a closer look at the servant who displeased the master. And then in 3 weeks, if the Lord hasn't come before then, or if he hasn't taken me home, Lord willing, we'll look at a possible commendation. I can't believe that we sinners and saved sinners down here could ever possibly hear the words from God Almighty, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But just knowing that that's a possibility, doesn't that inspire you to live a life aimed at hearing the words, well done? So a possible commendation. So a pivotal explanation today, powerful denunciation, the servant who displeased the master, and then a possible commendation, hearing those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So today, a pivotal explanation. What is this life all about? Well, there it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who calls his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. He delivered unto them his goods. So this traveler, a picture of Jesus, he loaded them up. He made sure that they had the wherewithal to do good things. So he gave the one 5 talents, and so it's a measure of value, a talent. Sometimes they use the human body to measure things, like a cubit, kind of the length from here to here, or a span, I think the width of your hand. So the human body, a talent was kind of measured by the human body as well. Kind of along the lines of what a normal man was able to lift up. What a normal man could actually hoist off the ground. That was a talent. So again, if not that long ago, I got to hold an ounce. It wasn't mine, and I don't have it. But there's a hold an ounce of gold in my hand. I'm like, ooh, that's pretty neat. But it was pretty easy. Like, ooh. So imagine a talent of gold, that which I could barely get off the ground. Like, oh man, I've got a talent of gold. That would be something of great worth. So this Lord gave something of great worth to each one of these men. And of course, but the one got 5. It doesn't matter. They all got something of great worth. All of them got something of great worth. And so the Lord here loaded them up. Another 2 and another 1 to every man according to his several ability. So he matched up the talent to the ability. What he gave them something according to their ability to do something with what he gave them. So they were given something according to the ability that they had to do something with what he gave them. And he matched them up in his wisdom. So today I want to look at 3 things. As we look at this pivotal explanation, what is this life all about? So I want to look at ability, then dependability, then accountability. So ability, everything we have, and again, the Lord gave them something of great worth, matched it up with their ability that he gave them in the first place anyway, our God, there is a source to consider. Everything you have and everything you're able to do comes from God. And we need to consider that source. So we'll look at ability. Then we'll look at dependability. Because everything we have and our ability to do something with what we have, because it comes from God, he has expectations for what we do with our ability and what he's given us. And he has every right to have expectations. We should be dependable in using what he has entrusted us for his benefit. Now, again, the Lord came back and said, thou oughtest, you should have, thou oughtest, in verse 27, Matthew 25, 27, thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers. And then, at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. The master gave as an investment and was looking for a return on his investment. So, with our ability, there's a source to consider where it came from. With our dependability, there's a seriousness to consider. The master is looking for a return. He's serious about it. We should be too. And then thirdly, accountability. There is a day of reckoning. He came back and called those servants to him and said, now, let me see about what you've done with what I've given to you. That's in verse 19, Matthew 25, 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So there is a source to consider, there's a seriousness to consider, and then there's a schedule to consider, an accountability. There is an appointed time where you and I will stand before God and tell him what we've done with what he gave to us. There's a schedule. Now, we don't know when that's going to be, but there is a time. So we'll look at those three things, the ability, dependability, and accountability. All right, so first of all, ability. Everything we have and everything we are able to do is from God. There is a source to consider. It's from him. So it says again, verses 14 and 15, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. A similar passage is found, you don't have to turn there, but in Luke 19, we'll kind of compare these passages some today. Luke 19, verses 12 and 13a, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. So a similar picture there, where this nobleman left to receive to himself a kingdom, called his 10 servants to him, delivered to them 10 pounds. So again, it was his goods. Now my dad, I brought this up before, but my dad used to say, son, while you're in the kitchen dishing yourself out a bowl of ice cream, why don't you dish me one out too? And of course, I was never like, oh, he wants me to get up from my chair and get him a bowl of ice cream, which he did. But as it was his ice cream in his fridge, and it was his chair I was sitting on. And he was saying, son, go get yourself a bowl of ice cream, which I love ice cream. I know you cannot tell by looking at me. I love ice cream. But my dad was saying, while you're in there getting yourself a bowl, again, I got to enjoy his ice cream while I dished him out a bowl of ice cream. It was a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. And so when our God gives us of his goodness, oh, it's wonderful. It's his. And he says, I want you to enjoy it. But I am looking for a return, because don't forget where it came from. Consider the source. Every good thing, and we've mentioned this verse, James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And you say, well, it's a gift. You're not supposed to have to earn a gift, right? God doesn't give you a gift and you spend the rest of your life paying it back. Well, again, let's think about a gift for a moment. A gift often does come with obligations. And let me explain that to you. My son, I'm expecting for him, he's going to be a senior this year, and then the next year he's going to go into Bible college here at Fairhaven Baptist College, and I am going to, and if, I'm not making a promise, but if I buy him a laptop computer as a gift, if I buy that for him, you better believe that that gift comes with obligations. He can commit crimes with that laptop. He can, he doesn't know how, but people can use computers and hack in and steal medical records and hold them for ransom. All right? It's like, but Dad, it's a gift. I get to do it whatever I want because it's a gift. Gifts comes with no strings attached. Not according to the Bible. When you understand the value and the love, when a son, I sacrificed for this. As I give it to you, I want you to honor my sacrifice and do with this what honors me. And that's how gifts work in the Bible. All right? When the God says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. And when we receive the gift of eternal life, you better believe that God has expectations with how we use the gift of eternal life. My son could take that computer and look at pictures that don't honor God. And I'm going to make it very clear, that's not why I'm giving this to you. It's a gift, but I expect you to use it a certain way. He could watch videos that don't honor God. I don't want you doing that. It's a gift, but I have expectations with how you're going to use that gift. The Bible says that in Luke 12:48. It says, for unto whom much is given, much shall be required. But it's a gift. I get to do with it whatever I want. Where did that come from? To whom much is given, much shall be required. If I gave it to you, I want you to remember where it came from and honor the one who gave it to you. So I'm not talking about earning our way to heaven for sure. That is a gift. But we need to recognize the monumental price of that gift and honor the one who gave it to us. Honor the one that sacrificed. Honor the pain the Father felt when his son died in my place. And honor what he wants with the eternal life that I enjoy because I received the gift of eternal life. Boy, you might say, I don't like that God gave them different amounts. Doesn't seem fair. Well, don't overthink all of that. God made each one of us, every single one of us, we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. Some more fearfully than wonderfully. Possibly. And I would be in that category for sure. That Psalm 139, verse 14. Each one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. And each one of us can bring glory to God in a way that only we can. Because we're made one of a kind, we are uniquely suited to bring God glory in a way that only you can. My son and I were in an art gallery not too long ago, and we saw this painting that was $106,000. So there's this painting, and there's a little price tag beside it. We're like, and I was just thinking to myself, my first house, they wanted to charge $83,000. And I offered them $62,500, and they accepted. So for $62,000, I bought my house, and for a mere $40,000 more, I could have that painting. But you know what? Every single human being is a one-of-a-kind piece of divine artwork. and we're worth what he's willing to spend. And what did he spend? His son's life on the cross. So don't worry about what somebody else has as far as ability or talent. You thank God for what he built into you. 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So if you're an 8-cylinder car, serve God with all 8 cylinders. But if you're a 6-cylinder car, don't worry that you're not an 8. Serve God with all 6 cylinders. If you're a 4-cylinder car, you know, turbocharged with, you know, electric motors or something, some sort of hybrid, just serve God with all 4 cylinders, whatever God made you. Serve him with every cylinder you are. Don't worry about somebody else. I think that was my dad's expression, you know, well, that guy's a few fries short of a Happy Meal. Or that person's not firing on all 8 cylinders. And the point was not that you know, if it's a 6-cylinder car, the point was not it can't because it's a 6-cylinder. The point was, if you're not firing on all your cylinders, you're not honoring God with everything you are, there's a problem there. You don't have to, if you're a 6-cylinder, don't worry about not being an 8. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatever horsepower you are, do it with thy might. Some cars are 400 horsepower. Some cars are more. I think the ridiculous ones I've seen over 1,000, 1,200. Some are far less. But whatever horsepower God made you, make sure he gets every one of those horses. Do it with thy might, the Bible says. Helen Keller, she was deaf and she was blind. Which again, just imagine trying to interact with this world, deaf and blind. How difficult that would be to figure things out. Well, Ann Sullivan was able to help her communicate. And so she grew and learned a lot. And she said the only thing worse than being blind is having your sight but no vision. You can use these, but you don't have a life aimed at those words, well done. That word vision, I don't suppose she was referring to this, but the Bible says vision in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And the rest of that verse helps with what it means to have vision. It says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Well, you can look at these words, and you can see what God wants, and you can keep the law. This is our vision. When you can know what God wants, and you can, Lord, how can I? That's wonderful. Without this book, I wouldn't know that there's a possibility of hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And without this book, I wouldn't know how I could stand before God someday and hear those words. But there is a chance for me to hear those words, and this tells me how. I have a vision, a life aimed at hearing those words. And that's what we want. So ability from God. And then dependability. Because our abilities come from God, he has expectations. He has every right to. He's serious about me using what he gave me for his honor and glory. So if he's serious, I need to be serious too. I can laugh all I want, but I won't be all fun and giggles when I stand before him if I didn't live a life that pleased him. He's serious. When this master, I don't know, the guy that buried the talent, maybe he talked big. When he comes back, I'll give him a piece of my mind, and I'll. It doesn't sound like there was any of that. When the servant came back, he said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Oh no, I don't hear any giggles. And when God comes back, there's not going to be giggles. Oh, you talk big. and he in his mercy let you talk big about how you're going to explain how it is to God someday. God allows us to live in this fantasy land down here. He's serious. He wants a return on his investment. Thou oughtest, verse 27, Matthew 25, 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, with interest. That parallel passage, or that similar passage again, Luke 19, verses 12 through 13, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, and said, occupy till I come. Be busy about my occupation. And what was the Lord's occupation? Well, earlier in that same chapter, Luke 19:10, after the story of Zacchaeus, he said, for the Son of Man is come. Why? Why did Jesus come? To seek and to save that which was lost. Earlier in Luke chapter 2, when they couldn't find Jesus, and Jesus said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And what was the Father's business? 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son. Why? To be the Savior of the world. God gave us his wealth and the ability to use it so that we could be about his business. Winning souls to Christ. Or at least giving them the opportunity. Really, we don't do the winning. We give the gospel. And they have the choice. I like Dr. Vogelin's illustration from a couple weeks ago about the mailman. The mailman, he's a success if he just delivers the mail. What the person does with it isn't on him. And you and I, we're a success if we deliver the gospel. It's not up to us what they do with it, but we need to give the gospel. We need to be about that, making sure people know how they can be saved. It's important to God. And he says, I've loaded you up with ability. I've loaded you up with talents. Now be busy about what matters to me. And souls receiving the gospel is what matters to me. Are you busy about those things? 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Why would you live as unto yourself? Why do you glory in what you can do when the ability came from God? Again, the silliness of suppose I, Brian up here. So suppose I give Brian $50 and the keys to my car. I'm like, Brian, run into town and get us some lunch. And so he runs into town and comes back and he's like, yeah, this car, it's wonderful how I'm able to get around with this car of mine. I'm sitting in it, so it must be mine. And look at this food I was able to, my ability to go get the food, yep. My ability to go get this food, yep, that's pretty amazing. My spending power to go buy this food, yep. You're like, Brian, what are you talking about? I lent you my car and I gave you the $50. How silly that would be. But yet that's how many of us live. Glorying in the abilities that God gave us. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We are to consider the gifts and abilities that God has given us an investment from him that we are to use for him. And he's so good that while we're dishing him out a bowl of ice cream, he lets us have some too. What a good God he is to us. Now, I have money in the stock market. So a long time ago, I thought, let me find some conservative mutual funds to put some money into. And my thought, I'm going to put this money into it, and I'm hoping that it will grow so that someday when I'm not able to work anymore, there'll be a revenue stream that I can live off of. I can take care of my wife. Now suppose I pay in all these years, and then I go to the company, You know, I'm old, and I'm like, okay, it's time to cash in on my investment. And I get there, and they're like, come on in, Mr. Mitchell. And I come in, and they're like, yes, you've been paying in. And anyway, we caught wind of your expectations, and that kind of spooked us. So we immediately took all of your money and took it out back and buried it. We wanted to make sure it would be safe for you and when you needed it. I'm like, what? For buried? Please tell me that's a financial term that means you put it in something and it's now worth way more. It's like, no, Sam, get that shovel. Go in the back and unearth Mr. Mitchell's money. It might be a little dirty, but it still spends. I'm like, I'm getting back what I gave you. Not only did it not grow, but it lost value due to inflation all these years. You're giving me back far less than I gave you. But that's what he's talking about here. No return on your investment. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There it is. My body. My body. And he's asking me to present it. But 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body, yeah, there it is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? A legendary football coach, Bill Parcells, used to say, availability is the best ability. In football lingo, you could be the most talented cat in the game, but if you are not on the field on game day, you are less useful to the team than just about anyone who is available and shows up. Dependability. Be where you are supposed to be in this life, doing what you are supposed to be doing. Ability is from God. Dependability is owed to him. And then lastly, accountability. There is a day of reckoning. We don't know when it is. After Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. There is a schedule to consider. We don't know when, but God has an appointed time that we will give account for what we have done with what he has entrusted to us. Luke 19, verses 13 through 27 talks about that. Hebrews 9, 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Romans 14, as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5, 8 through 10, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Levi Armakosh just preached out of this passage, Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. It doesn't have to be a scary thing, whether it be good or bad. Isn't that a fun thought? Every secret thing brought into judgment, whether it be good or bad. Do you ever do something, I'm going to do something good, and no one will know except for God? It's a secret thing that only he knows. I'm not doing it to be seen of any men. I'm going to do this good thing just to show God I love him, and it's for nobody else. Nobody else even knows about it. Everything, every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. Ugh. But if we have a life full of secret things that are bad, we don't want to stand before the righteous judge that Paul was excited to stand before there in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. Accountability. We will stand before God, and it can be a wonderful thing, or it can be a frightening thing. For those that did what they were supposed to with what God had given them, they got to hear that, well done. What a wonderful thing. For those that got busy doing what they wanted to do with what God gave them and forgot about him, oh, it was a frightening and awful thing. Jesus is coming back. When my wife, if my wife goes away on a trip, I don't forget that I'm married. I look forward to when she's coming back. And I long for that time. Do you have some of that? You look forward to Jesus' return, and you long for that? He's coming back. There is a day of accountability. There's ability. Let's consider the source that comes from God. Dependability. He's serious about what we did. I better be dependable. He's serious. I better be too. Let's consider the seriousness. And then accountability. Let's consider the schedule. He has a time where I'm going to stand before him. It can be a wonderful thing. It can be a frightening thing. Are we ready to stand before that righteous judge? In John chapter 12, it says, then came Jesus 6 days before the Passover into Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So Jesus had done wonderful things for her. He had brought her brother back from the dead and had done so many other wonderful things. And so in recognition of God's goodness, the glory of a woman is her long hair, she put her glory at his feet. God has blessed us. Are you taking what's in your life and placing it at his feet? We want to be practicing anyway, because that's what I want to do in heaven. Let's real quickly go over to Revelation chapter 4. In heaven, I want to do the same thing like the 24 elders. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Boy, Mary had it right. Oh, Lord, you've loaded me up, and I'm going to spend my life casting my glory at your feet. I want to practice, because in heaven, I want to do the same thing. You gave to me, and I want to give back to you. And then in heaven, you're going to give crowns, and I want to cast them at your feet. My glory at your feet here on the earth. My glory at your feet there in heaven. My ability is from you. I want to be dependable. And at that time of accountability, I want to be ready. You can be if you'll take these things seriously. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your goodness. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to live lives aimed at those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant.